Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I am Ted Santos, and I am your co-host of The Creative Alchemist. And we come to you live every Thursday from 7 into 8. And today, well, it's Thursday, and it's 7 o'clock. And here we are. And we talk to you about business, your business, the business you've always wanted, the business you have. And we have addressed topics like leadership and your 401ks, finance, the new year that we kicked off somewhere in the middle of last year. And we continue to have guests who have an enormous amount of expertise in very specific topics, and tonight will be no different. And I think you are going to love, enjoy, and get a lot of fulfillment. I think that's a good word to use. Out of our guest tonight, if you would like to, before we introduce our guest, you know who I have to introduce first, but if you'd like to call in, the phone number is 516-387-1640. That's 516-387-1640. And before we introduce our guest, you know I never take this journey alone. You have to meet my co-host, Lori. Let them know you're here.
Hi, everybody. It's great to be back. And I don't know if you noticed, but I will point out my faux pas yesterday thinking it was Thursday. So I'm glad to be back and glad tonight is Thursday and not yesterday. And Lori Miller, LG Seat Interior Design, love helping everyone with their businesses. And tonight, I think we have a pretty amazing guest, and he has a lot to teach us. And it has something to do with finding your superpower so we can be like the Fantastic Four or something out of a Marvel comic. And we've had a few discussions lately back and forth about LinkedIn. And that was always a foreign social media tool for me, but I know it's necessary. And Jean-Michel has transformed his business and done some changes that we're going to go into, and he can help you figure out LinkedIn as well. So Jean-Michel, tell everyone a little bit about you, and let's talk about the superpower stuff. Jean? Ted?
Yes, I'm here.
I don't hear John.
Yeah, I
John is here.
Somehow.
Hi, Lori, Ted, can you hear me?
We
yes,
can.
We can.
Okay, beautiful. I'm sorry, the connection is a little shaky today. thank you so much for having me today. And I hope we can have a little bit of fun and find some inspiration in the call today. So, let me tell you a little bit about myself, and then I will go into a little bit of magic, if you want, magic that happens in our lives, you know, that guides mm-hmm. us from one place to another. I was born in France, you know, from a family of teachers, school principals. My dad was an engineer all his life. My uncle are all engineers, very, very well-rounded engineers. And obviously I got the bug as well. You know, I discovered my passion for number one, tutoring very young, tutoring my siblings and my schoolmates. I got this from my mother probably. But I had a very, a very strict education in France, you know, and I was going in math, physics, and engineering very, very quickly. So I don't want to bore you too much with my story, but to make a long story short, I went to École Centrale of Paris, following my dad's footsteps, one of the most prestigious professional engineering school in France. And then I was working towards my military service at the French Energy Atomic Commission in Saclay, France. It's one of the top national laboratories. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to tell you the story a little bit to show you how my own life has pivoted tremendously several times. And to show you how we're always guided in our lives, you know, even so we often don't know it. You know, that's what we call sometimes, I've got a gut feeling, right? I've got a gut feeling. Oh, it's my intuition, right? Or you presented, you introduced to someone that eventually would change your life. You know, you run into a person. You know they portray this in the movies, right? They run into each other, spill coffee on somebody's shirt, right? And that's how they discover each other. So a lot of the time we follow a path. You know, we go to school, we graduate, we go to work, we get married, we have some children. And we don't realize that we are not always where we are supposed to be or where we want to be, you know. So I'm going to give you, I'm going to continue my story a little bit to illustrate this a little bit. So I was working at the French Energy Atomic Commission. Very exciting work. And then it was 1988. I had a very, very powerful dream. In that dream, I remember being on a quest to find my soulmate. You know, but the search was in vain. It was a very difficult, very heart-wrenching dream, actually, and I can still remember it. It was so poignant. Not being able to find her in my dream, somehow I knew with certainty that she lived in a very faraway place. And if we were to be together, I had to leave France. And that dream just came out of the blue, right? We can talk about spectacular magic, right? And I can give you some more examples of spectacular magic that happens in our life. It's a very, very interesting dream for me. And about a week of that dream, I was presented with an opportunity to come and study on my PhD in aerospace and nuclear engineering at the University of New Mexico in Albuquerque. And I struggled with this dream and this decision for 2 months. Why was it a very difficult decision, right? Well, imagine I'm 23 years old. You know, I don't speak a lot of English, actually. I hope you can understand me today, but imagine 30 years ago is even worse. The CEA actually had offered me a job offer. I mean, I had it made in France, okay? My career was done. You know, I was a graduate from the top school. I could have had any job I wanted. I wanted that job. But you may not know this, you know, since very young, you know, as a preschooler, I remember watching Neil Armstrong step on the moon, you know, and this image ignited a passion for everything aerospace, you know, since I was very young. So guess what? Now I was working with the CEA in aerospace and nuclear, and I could have had that job. So very difficult decision. But eventually, I followed that calling. It was so strong. You know, I followed that calling. And I had to leave France. And I knew that it would break my mother's heart. And I knew that was going to be difficult. And I packed my blue Samsonite suitcase. You remember those? I mean, they're very hard plastic. The commercial, you can see the commercial, right? The guy is coming down the mountain, sliding on the snow inside his suitcase. It was indestructible, really. So I packed my suitcase and came to the U.S. you know. So that was my first calling, my first major pivot in life. Now, I'd like to talk a little bit about magic in our life, okay? And I want to read something for you. My wife discovered this beautiful quote by Pamela Backdown. And everyday magic connecting us to the divine is present for all of us, although it comes and goes as quickly as it appears, you know, darting and weaving through our lives unpredictably, extraordinary, inexplicably, mysteriously, unexpectedly. The truth is, magic in our life seldom needs to be spectacular. Okay, if you think about it, and I'm sure you have thought about this before, okay? Imagine you're leaving the house, ready to go to work, you forgot your key. You turn around, 30 seconds later, you're out the door. Something happened here, which means that during the rest of the day, you'll probably not be meeting or the same people, not experiencing the same thing that day. So imagine those multitude of life paths, right, that we are choosing every day, right, those multitude of life paths, you know. If something was different that day, if I didn't run into that person at that time around the corner, my life would be totally different years from now, right? But I don't believe it's accidental. But I think we are guided for our lives every day, every minute of the day. But we're not paying attention, okay? We're not paying attention most of the time. But magic doesn't need to be spectacular. You know, I think of it as the guidance we're getting. Those little nudges every day, you know, it's like water flowing from the top of the mountain into the valley, you know. You will always look for the path of least resistance. You know, just like electrons or electrical current flowing through a silicon circuit, you will always look for the path of least resistance, okay? Sometimes we're resistant, we're not paying attention. But how do we know, right? We can ask ourselves. Well, first I would like to say that I believe that we have all been given special talents, special gifts, you know. And
so wait, and I think maybe you're going down this path, and I wanted to ask you a question, mm-hmm. because title of the show is Activating Your Superpowers, right? And you had a kind of how to find purpose and fulfillment. And I think especially we're talking about career, I think another subtitle is how to use your superpower to make career moves. So before we even go completely down this path, what do you mean by superpowers?
So those superpowers would be for special gift, for special talent. And I believe the purpose of life is to use those special gift and talents to make a difference in the world.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. how does someone know they have a special gift or talent? And so here, because I'll say there's probably that could be challenging for some people because there are lots of people who may do things really well. So, for example, you may take math and physics for granted. Like, you know, that stuff is just easy, right? You grew up in a household with it. Mm-hmm. And let's say maybe that is one of your superpowers. So often people have a superpower, something they do really well, and they take for granted. They kind of think, oh, you know, everyone can do that. So how does someone even know they have a superpower?
Well, I think we can. When I work with someone, first of all, the majority of people that come to me are very unhappy in their career, right? And you probably have heard this. 3 out of 4 Americans, working Americans, are unhappy in their job. Okay, and so we ask ourselves, why are they so unhappy? So to help uncover their gift and uncover what is missing in their life and their career, I use different tools. One of the tools I use is the ikigai. Okay, it's a Japanese concept, the ikigai, who means raison d'être in French, of the reason of being. Okay, and sometimes it's translated as the meaning of life. Now, it's a very interesting exercise that I'll have to describe it to you here. Okay, usually it's a very interesting graphic to actually study and look at. But basically, imagine four different circles that intersect in the middle, and each one of those circles represent a particular concept, a particular idea. So, one of the circles corresponds to what you love doing. Another corresponds to what you're good at doing, right? And that's what some of the things we're talking about here. What are you good at doing? And you may have some facilities, some affinities at certain things. Some people are maybe more creative. Some people have an affinity for analytics, et cetera, et cetera. Another area is, can you get paid for doing what you're doing?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right.
And the fourth circle, which is actually one of the most critical circles, is what the world needs. Are we making a contribution? And Tony Robbins has uncovered this, a long time ago, over 30 years ago, the lack of satisfaction of most people comes from this lack of fulfillment by not making a contribution into the world, because a lot of the time, right, we're driven by historically we're driven by what pays, right? We're trying to make a good living so we can make money, save money, support our family, right? So if you look at someone who is good at skills and love what they do, they have passion in their life, right? That's great. But they're not necessarily paid, right? You could be a very talented painter, and your paintings are not selling, So you're very creative, very talented, but you're not able to support your family, right? If you're good at what you do, and you can get paid for it and make good money, well, we call this a profession, right? It's a profession.
Yes.
Doesn't mean you're enjoying what you're doing. And there's a lot of people in this situation, right?
Do you think mm-hmm. that this is a major reason a lot of professionals speak about their lack of satisfaction in their life or career?
I think so, and Ted, I'll tell you from experience, working with executives that have made millions in their life, and then sometimes they come to me in their 60s, sometimes in their 70s, and
really?
Externally it looks like they've done very well. They've done very well in their life, but they are still very dissatisfied, very unhappy. Something's missing in their life, right? And what we're seeing now, what we've been seeing in the past decade, it's a new breed, of heart-centered, conscious leaders, you know, socially responsible, authentic, and intentional leaders. And, you know, that feeds into that circle, is that, okay, you know, people want to know that they are making an impact on the world. They're leaving a legacy, right? And I think that that's the reason why we're seeing so much dissatisfaction in the world, you know. And a lot of the time people are doing something they're good at, but not what they love doing. So I'll give you a simple example here that's very, very clear. Simple but clear. So a couple of years ago, I talked to a director of HR of a major company, and she was very, very unhappy in her job. She'd been working there 7 years. And she actually did not enjoy the regulation. You know, she didn't enjoy conflict resolution, the bickering, and the red tape, you know. And so obviously she was in the wrong line of work, but she was good at it. And then after probing some more, you know, asking her, what do you enjoy doing? You know, tell me a little bit about what makes you happy, what you love, right? This is that top circle of the Ikigai. And then she started sharing with me that she always volunteered for organizing company events, employee, you know, employee leadership events, picnics, you know, yearly anniversary to celebrate the company, you know. And she always, I mean, who wants to, right, volunteer for that, right? It's extra work. You don't get paid for it. But she loved planning those events for the company. And she's been doing it for 7 years, and she volunteered for it every time. So long story short, you can see that she, you know, she had the heart of an event planner, but she was in the wrong line of work here. And when I pointed that out to her, she was like, well, yeah, I enjoy doing this, but I've got no training. You know, I've got no training. Being an event planner, I'm not making money doing it. And then, you know, I had to tell her, but that does not matter. That does not matter. Number one, you've done it for 7 years. And she could put a list of so many events. She already had the contact, right? Practically pointed out, well, you have a contact with caterers, with event location. You already have built a portfolio of contacts, right? So you could start your own business. When she started thinking about it, she said, actually, yeah, you're right. I mean, you're way ahead of the curve. But I never got paid for it. How am I going to write my resume? How are people going to believe that I can help them, that I'm good at it? And then that's going to take us into authenticity, you know. And so I told her and I showed her, it does not matter if you never got paid for it. You did it, so you have a portfolio. So we can brand your authentic self. We can show your passion. We can show your passion, and we can present you as an accomplished event planner because you've already done it. It seems simple enough. But in her mind, she could not make that leap. You know, she could not see that leap.
So let me, Jean-Michel, you started out talking about you lived in France and what your background was, and then you talked about coming here and the offers that you were given for your career. So would you say that you went through something similar, like to find your own superpowers? So you're a guy who's well-educated and come from a family of well-educated people, and you know, you go down this path of math and science. The CIA wants you. You're a rocket scientist, literally. You know, we joke in the U.S. about saying, "Oh, that's not rocket science." You are the real rocket scientist. Almost like your family raised you to be that. Except you've made this. I would say it's a huge transition. And maybe there are some transferable skills, but what was that like for you? I mean, you just told us about a woman who worked in HR and she went to event planning and she didn't see she had the experience. So did you have to go through something similar to yourself? And can you share that journey with us?
Yes, certainly, Ted. So, you know, I think we go through different experiences in life, you know, and honestly, very often we have no idea where we're going, right? But don't get me wrong, I have enjoyed every moment of my journey. You know, I was passionate about aerospace, passionate about engineering. You know, I've developed software for NASA, for national laboratories like Los Alamos and Sandia National Laboratory. So I've built a name for myself. You know, I've built my expert status in aerospace engineering and R&D. You know, I'm one of the few world experts on Amtec heat pipes. I have over 160 publications, and that's one part of who I am, right? So I have enjoyed that journey. You know, I think nowadays there are so many more opportunities for our young people, right? I mean, I look back at the time of my dad, you know. So my dad worked for the same company all his life. And he loved it. He was a patent engineer. You know, so he used to bring inventions home, you know, and have me draw and calculate the movement of windshield wipers, you know, for an inventor, or electromagnetic signals from a car antenna. Okay, and I like to believe that he enjoyed what he did. But the truth, in the past, we didn't have as many opportunities, you know, as young people have now. You know, so I took one journey. You know, I went into aerospace engineering, and it really satisfied me for 20 years, you know. But then, it was about 8 years ago, things started changing in my life. You know, again, another awakening moment. I started feeling uneasy in my life. You know, I started feeling that something was missing. But the way I look at it, you know, is that the actual step, you know, I was a professor at the university for nearly 20 years. You know, I was tutoring students and graduate students. I was mentoring students. I was working with engineers in national labs and adults. So I think that, you know, I discovered my passion for mentoring and coaching as I was working in academia as an engineer. You know, and I think that's what was missing. You know, I got bored with engineering. Let's put it this way, right? I got bored with engineering. I wanted to make a difference in a different way. Something was missing, you know. I knew I could create an impact in a different way. But I think transition are never easy, right? Because we are very always very resistant to change, right? Overwhelmed, because there's a lot of fear involved with change, right? And that's the reason why people hang on to their jobs, right, as long as they can, right? It pays the bills. Maybe it's not great. I'm not enjoying myself, but it puts money on the – it puts food on the table, right? It's secure. I'm looking at people around me that are losing their job. I stick with it, right? So change is difficult. And sometimes it requires a little bit more spectacular magic, a little harder nudge, you know, for us to have the courage to explore something different. So, and this happened to me, you know, 8 years ago. So, you know, a few things happened, I'll tell you, and it all happened simultaneously in a very short period of time. You know, so number one, we lost most of our funding, you know, because guess what? The U.S. invaded Syria. And all our fundings, most funding in energy and aerospace comes from the government, right? So once the military budget kicks in, guess what? You know, your grant goes out the door, right? This is congratulations, you won this $500,000 grant. You wait for your money, September, October, the fiscal year, and then we went into Syria, right? Money went out, you know. My department at the time was going through a restructuration, right? We were separating two different specialties, two different departments. My chair was retiring, didn't want to have anything to do with the restructure. Didn't want to support me as a professor anymore. So all of this happened at the same time. And then out of the blue, within that period of time, I was offered an opportunity out of the blue to build and manage a multi-million dollar manufacturing operation with no previous experience. Was it scary? Yes, it was scary, right? But it was exciting too because it was a new adventure, and that satisfied my need to continue to grow and learn new things. See, that's one thing that I've learned about myself. One of my superpowers, very early on, I love to learn. You know, I want to know how things work. You know, I'm fascinated with the working of the universe. I walk into the library, and I cannot help being awed by the vast amount of knowledge accumulated by us humans in a very short period of time, right? And it's scary, right? Because I'm looking at all that world knowledge, all those books, and I say, it's just me, you know. I only have a few decades, so much time on this earth. How am I going to learn all of this? How am I going to read and learn all of this, right? But that's me. You know, that's one of my superpowers, my need and my love for learning.
So
and obviously
that
serves my client tremendously. Okay. I'm sorry.
Would you say that superpower is transferable, the one you just named, your desire to learn? Do you think that works across the board in everything?
Yes, that particular superpower served me throughout all the transition in my life and career. That's correct, you know. And of course, that had helped me become very good at my job very quickly as well, because I'm a fast learner,
okay.
I'm a good learner, and I'm a very curious person. So that, you know, for me, that is one of my that's how I identify my superpower, because no matter what I was doing, whether I was, you know, working in a national lab, working as a professor at the university, managing a manufacturing operation, and now, you know, coaching my clients finding their superpower, or securing great jobs quickly, or building their business by generating continuous leads, warm leads into their business. You know, this serves me because I'm always learning. I'm always looking at what my competitors are doing, creating new growth marketing strategies so I can always deliver the best for my clients. So that's me.
Okay.
So I'm not saying it's everybody's like that, obviously, right?
I questioned that. So I was just reading something today, and a person asked the question, why do you think geniuses or people who are highly, you know, have very high intelligence, why do they have, like they retain sort of a childlike mindset? And someone was saying that for a lot of children, as they're growing up at some point, depending on how their parents interact with them, like your mother or father could say, hey, look, you know, children are always asking, well, why is this? Why is that? What is this? And how does it work? What is? And at some point, parents or even teachers may say, you know, this is not the time for that question. And if you say that to a child too many times, at some point, they are discouraged from learning. So it sounds like you came from a household that where your parents were not discouraged at all, and they passed that on to you. And so the point of it was saying that it's a part. Most adults lose that childlike, that curiosity, that innocence to want to constantly learn things. And it's those people who are considered geniuses and have high intelligence. And I think it was even Einstein who said something like he wasn't intelligent, he was just, you know, infinitely curious. So it sounds mm-hmm. like you're describing that.
Yes, that's true. That's true. You make a good point, Ted, here. And certainly as children, we have a lot of curiosity. you know, and we see like that childlike curiosity, you know, of the world around us, you know, kind of understanding, observing.
Exactly. So with Jean-Michel, if anyone has some curiosity about Jean-Michel and you want to actually have a conversation about your superpower or the superpower you've been, like it's been there, but you just can't see it, you can't distinguish it, define it, but you know something else is there. If you'd like to call in and have a conversation with Jean-Michel, you can call in at 516-387-1640. That's 516-387-1640. So it's almost like you have a superpower for superpowers, if that's any way to express it. So,
when you think about it, it is the ultimate gift, you know, that love of learning is certainly,
right.
It is one of the superpowers, yeah, you know. But,
well,
you know,
and,
I think also...
Well, there's also, you have a superpower for helping people distinguish their own superpower. So that's like the superpower.
No. But I think, you know, I think also, you know, one thing we have to consider as well is that, yes, you know, I know from our conversation previously, you know, Ted, I know you believe we have unlimited potential, right? And that, you know, I tend to agree with you, you know, after our conversation. But I think what's happening is what's limiting us as human beings is that
right.
we don't believe we have this power. You know, we put ourselves into a little box with limited beliefs. You know, and I was talking to a LinkedIn influencer a few years ago, a great guy that I befriended, Derek Mildred. He works in Australia. And we were talking about the law of attraction and the secret, you know, that movie that came out I think in the 90s. Mm-hmm. And then he had made a comparison with Napoleon Hill's Think and Grow Rich, which I'm sure most of you are familiar with.
Right.
You know,
right.
But what it's really about, you know, we had a great conversation on that, and we figured it out, is that, you know, we create our experience with our thoughts. You know, we are very powerful. We are co-creators. And if only we can activate, that reminds me of something beautiful. When I moved to Dallas a few years ago, I started doing, you know, networking events, speaking engagements, and I had a chance to meet Michel Prince. Michel Prince has worked very closely with Zig Ziglar for many, many years. And she put it this way, we had a great conversation. She said, activate your seeds of greatness. Isn't that beautiful? And actually, that sounds like something that televangelist Joel Osteen would say, right? Activate your seeds of greatness. We have unlimited potential, but we don't believe we do, you know. And so we create our experience with our beliefs, with our thoughts.
Well, you know, I definitely hear that. You know, we create our experiences with our own thoughts, right? So, but what about when things happen that are outside of you, right? So take the pandemic, for example. What do you think that people can do, or do you think this pandemic may have helped people change directions, society? Do you think this pandemic may have sort of a silver lining and may make it easier for people to find their superpower?
Yeah, no, that's a very interesting point, Ted. You know, there's a movement right now, okay, called the Great Resignation. you know, Microsoft has done a recent survey and discovered that 41% of working Americans, actually it's throughout the world, not just in America, are ready to quit their job right now. And half of the people in the world, you know. So what there's some reason, I think I see some reasons for that. So, you know, the first thing that the pandemic has done for us, it has shed all distraction in our life, right? And a lot of the time we fill our time with distraction, so we don't have to think about what is important in our life, right? And so once you take all those distractions out, right, with social distancing, people are left with time to figure out what is really important, what really matters in their life. Number two, and obviously, you know, that job satisfaction comes to the surface. Number two, because the pandemic is so traumatic, we are already in fear. We are traumatized. So making a change in our life doesn't seem as scary anymore, right? Because guess what? You know, people are dying, or everybody knows someone in their family or friend who has passed from COVID, right? So it's been very traumatic, very scary, a lot of uncertainties. It's thrown everything we knew, everything we relied on, all stability out of the window, right? So somehow people are feeling more daring because of the situation. You know, it's like, okay, well, yeah, it's scary, but living right now is scary. Okay, so yes, it's helped people start thinking about how to change their life. You know, so right now, yes, 41% of people in the world are ready to quit their job. You know, and that's so in a way, I think it's the positive that has come out of the pandemic. Like you said, it's forcing people to realign their soldiers. You know, think about what they enjoy doing, what matters to them, and it's going to help them transition faster to activate those seeds of greatness, I believe so, you know. So it's a very interesting. So it is a blessing in disguise, I think, yes.
Interesting. Lori, you've been quite quiet.
I was listening. Quite interesting. You know, I, of course, always get sucked into the laws of attraction and the secret. So, and that had not come up in our previous discussion. So it's come up quite a few times today, actually. So I find that quite interesting. But aside from that, if you could talk a little bit about LinkedIn, because you do seem to be, or not seem to be, you are, you know, the go-to person in LinkedIn, which was, you know, as Ted Kine really nicely said, you know, you're the rocket scientist. But yeah, I think people would love to know a little bit about that and how it's used, why it's important. I don't know where that fits into the prior, but I think it's important because, like you said, people are changing their lives and quitting their jobs.
Yeah, no, I'd be happy to talk a little bit about this, Lori. So, yes, you know, what we've seen happening with the pandemic and the social distancing is that the way we do business, the way we market has changed, right? So, I mean, it's changed for a decade, okay? Social selling has shown its powerful head for a decade. But, you know, we've seen, even before the pandemic, we've seen companies fail because they have not pivoted. They have not updated their marketing, right? It's a lot of companies still relying on foot traffic, right? So look at all those major chain that have lost. I mean, you know, we can start with Blockbuster, for example, right? Netflix put them out of business, right? Netflix, Hulu, right? Because they were relying on people coming into the store, borrowing a DVD, right? This is out the door, you know. Sears, you know, major chains like Sears, etc. You know, people are buying online now, right? It's crazy, right? Who is making a killing right now, right? Anybody's guess? Where we're not, you know, during the pandemic, we were homebound. We're buying from Amazon online, right?
Right.
And Amazon
Amazon
is an amazing company who has pivoted, who built a model of distribution and logistics, you know, unmatched in the world, right? And because I just ordered a book yesterday, and it was at my door this morning, you know, or the same day. It's crazy, right? So the way we do business has changed, and LinkedIn has really become the go-to tool to connect people throughout the world, right? So, yes, we may not be able to connect in person, at least for a time. We're not able to connect in person. We cannot continue our networking events in person, you know?
Right.
But LinkedIn, through the power of the web, gives us the opportunities to connect with anyone in the world. So actually now, from the comfort of your home office, you have access to unlimited number of clients, right? So in the past, where you're more relying maybe of geolocated clients, you know, LinkedIn has give you this power. You know, I mean, 85% of working Americans are on LinkedIn. And that includes decision makers, right? If we just if we only just look at the USA here. So social distancing has forced us to consider and leverage social selling. Now, the issue with this now is that, guess what? Yes, you have access to everyone in the world, unlimited number of clients, but guess what? Your competitors do also, right? So now the game is a little different, you know. Developing your brand and your unique value proposition has become even more so essential nowadays, because you're competing with a lot more people, right? And So whether you're looking for a job, you know, and I really treat business owners or job hunters very much the same way. Because basically what we are problem solvers, right? We're not job hunters. We're problem solvers, right? So when I work with a person in career transition, I always tell them, and this is my best, you know, this is one of my top interview tips that has really been very effective for my clients. I tell them, when you go into your interview, change your mindset. You know, think of yourself as a business owner, you're a consultant, you've been hired by this company to solve their problem, and start doing the work during the interview. Start asking the question, learn about their problem, learn about their challenge, and start brainstorming solutions. I guarantee you will get the next interview every time, okay? Because that's all they're looking for. They're looking for a problem solver. So we highlight your special talents, your superpowers, whether you're a job hunter or a consultant, it's really the same thing, right? Or a company offering service. And I'm going to go back to a little bit of our previous discussion, so it's not just about LinkedIn, but let's go back to the law of attraction a little bit. So when you brand yourself online, on the web, on LinkedIn, on your website, it is very important to be authentic. And LinkedIn allows you to do something more. You know, a lot of people think that LinkedIn is, you know, you come and paste your resume on LinkedIn. No, that's not it at all. Because you do business with people, right? B2B is business to business. It's really a misnomer. You know, we should call it P2P, people to people. People do business with people. You know, whether you're a CEO, a CEO of the carpet cleaning business, or a CEO of a multi-million dollar, aerospace agency. You're still a person. So LinkedIn will allow you to, number one, be authentic, present your superpowers, right, which we've been talking about, present the pain points of your target audience, present you as the solution provider, the problem solver. But in addition to this, you will be writing in the first person, sharing something personal about you to make an emotional connection with the reader, right? Because nobody is going to do business with you or give you a job if they don't like you first, right? That's the same thing, right? If I'm looking at a hiring manager who will have, you know, David, Mary, and John as his top three candidates, and they all look the same on paper. They have amazing expertise, amazing work experience. They have the talent. Who is he going to choose? He's going to choose the person that he likes most, because that person, guess what, shared that she had a dog and he loves dogs. You see what's happening here? So it has nothing to do with work, right? So what we've discovered, and it's really amazing, I tell you, when we brand our client's authentic self on the web, something magical happens. You know, when you send that energy out in the universe, it reflects back to you, and you will attract the right people to you. Magic again, right? We're talking about magic. And I tell you, so that's I'll tell you, LinkedIn is the proof of the law of attraction at work. It never ceases me to amaze me. You know, once we finish, when we finish branding a client, before we even start, you know, an active marketing campaign, you know, sometimes I get a call 10 days later and they say, Jean-Michel, you're not going to believe this. What? He says, this person found me on LinkedIn. We got into a conversation and I just signed a $50,000 contract for next month. I says, well, congratulations. It's magical. Yes, it's magical. You know, because you were authentic. You presented your authentic self and you attracted the right person to you. So there are tremendous opportunities, you know, with using the web, you know, and LinkedIn in particular. But you have to, you cannot take shortcuts because, like I say, everybody's spamming the heck out of everybody on social media right now, right? And it's a turn off.
Yeah.
You know, just like LinkedIn, just like the you only... know, beginning. Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, please keep going.
So just like we, you know, just like email marketing has lost a lot of its effectiveness in the past decade, right? Because
right.
Every company, everybody trying to sell you something is spamming the heck out of everybody, right? So we look in our inbox, we have 200 spam emails. Thank goodness now the email software, the email engines are smart enough. A lot of the time we don't have to see them, right? They go into the promotion box, the spam boxes. So those techniques don't work anymore as much, you know. But with LinkedIn, whether you're looking for a job, whether you're looking for your ideal client or a strategic partner, you know, you want to make the effort to build long-term relationship, to build a relationship. So it's a little bit more work. But, of course, when you're doing business to business, the rewards are much higher, right?
Are there any other platforms? I mean, there's some call a new sensation Clubhouse. Are there any other platforms that have that can open doors and allow you to build relationships like LinkedIn?
You know, there are a lot of platforms that have popped up, you know, in the last few years and this year. And they are trying to compete with LinkedIn, right? They're trying to recreate LinkedIn, basically, right? By presenting themselves as a unique community of executives or professionals, right? And it's great. It's a great idea, but guess what? You know, they're 10 years late. You know what I mean? Because that community already exists. It's LinkedIn. You know, and it's the fastest growing social media on the planet right now. Now, Instagram is also growing fast. You know, but Instagram is, I think, more targeted to a younger audience right now. You know, so it's a little different. You know, it's interesting. I'm watching what's happening with Instagram. It may become a very powerful also platform, you know, to promote your product and your services. But right now, you know, why reinvent the wheel when you have LinkedIn already? You know, I mean, you have 800 million professionals on LinkedIn. Facebook is a little different, right? So, yeah, there's more people on Facebook, but people use Facebook to keep in touch with friends and family, right? So you have young people, you have the elderly. Facebook is a very mixed platform. What's special about LinkedIn is that people are not on LinkedIn to find out what you ate for breakfast, okay? People are on LinkedIn to build their career, grow their career and their business, period. Okay? So you're going to have business, career-oriented discussion. Now, if you're able to do this on Facebook, I want to know how you're doing, you know, because I've been on Facebook for years, and honestly, I haven't been able to generate very high quality conversation there, you know. But that's me, you know. I'm certainly a LinkedIn expert. You'd be hard-pressed to find someone who knows more about LinkedIn. I'm not by no means an expert of, you know, of Facebook or Instagram. You know, I have attempted to use Facebook and Twitter for years with very little success. You know? But the truth is 80% of business-to-business leads come from LinkedIn right now, you know.
Interesting.
So, you know, go where business is, right? That's what I tell people. And Clubhouse is interesting. Yeah, I'm considering joining soon. You know, it's a different different form of podcasting, not quite the same. It is interesting to see what's happening there. You know,
Hey, Jean-Michel, we're closing in on the end of the show. So if someone would like to get in touch with you and you support them to find their superpower, how do they find you?
Oh, yeah, certainly. So the easiest way would be to, you know, please find me on LinkedIn, you know, and send me a connection request to connect on LinkedIn. I'll be happy to accept you. Just let me know you're coming from the show, because I get tons of inbound requests, you know, and so I want to make sure I don't miss you, and I'll be happy to offer you a free consultation, you know, learn more about you and your goals in your career and your business, you know, and see if we can support each other in some way.
Very cool. So LinkedIn's the best place. Great.
Yes, LinkedIn would be the best place. And I don't know, Ted, are you gonna have some of my contact information in the podcast description, or?
Well, definitely, Laura. You always put it in Facebook, correct?
I do.
Okay. Oh, we can drop
that
in the podcast.
The link you received is always active for this show.
Right.
Oh, I see. Great. So I can just call in for that link.
Exactly.
And this one as well.
Yeah. Yep, and it's
beautiful,
active, like,
beautiful.
Just a couple of seconds after we end the show.
I see. Beautiful.
And we're about to end in a matter of seconds.
Yeah, it was great having you. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate the opportunity. Thank you for having me. I look forward to our next conversation.
Likewise, thanks.
Jean-Michel, thanks for being our guest. It was wonderful having you. Love talking about superpowers, and we could probably talk about this for much longer. You and I discuss some things, but we do this for 1 hour. So appreciate you being here. Thanks to everyone who is listening, and we'll be back next week.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yes, thank you, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Take care.
Bye-bye.